punters, it's your boy UnZD Otarog Das back at it again. Episode 29 here, and I'm sitting nicely with Bob Wong and Daniel Goodshall. You guys ready? We got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, it's good to have the crew back together. You know, originally we're like, oh, let's go on hiatus for a couple weeks when Watsy figures out the bands, and ended up being like a couple months, but I'm glad to be back together again.
Daniel, how you doing?
Good. So Bob was protesting Ragavan, or is that the band he wanted? I guess we'll find out soon. I'm at the edge of my seat.
It's literally Bob. I think his MO for the past years, is to just like have a pitchfork in hand, and then he'll just like, he's like one of those NPCs. He'll just be moving it around, saying the same thing over and over again. Just like, you know, it's Bob Katana Wong. But before we get into everything, I want to say thank you to our new patrons. If you haven't already, patreon.com/ELOPunters. So this is a long list. Ready, set. Thank you to Julian, John, Hiroyuki, Aptip, Kevin, Fetter, Azdad, Francisco, Blake, Giovanni, Brittany, Mike, John, Vicente, Michael Vogue, Diogo, Jacob, Remnant, Pietro, Mario, Zikai, Mu, Lozinski, Zach, Powell, Rich, David, Kenta, Carlos, Wing Tussar, and Alex. You guys are all incredible. Thank you for supporting the content. We do appreciate that. And we got some thoughts for you here regarding what was probably a very overdue announcement from Wizards of the Coast. Also, shout out to your boy at Force of Phil. That's Phil Blackman, whose voice you may hear on Eternal Dirtles, doing some incredible raps. Check out his SoundCloud as well. But he's the one who's going to be editing our podcast for this episode. He does a great job. So thank you for making us not sound too much like the clowns we normally are.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
Ragavan has been banned. Take it away, Bob.
Wow, that's quite the intro. Also, I don't know if I've been compared to an NPC before, but, you know, it's probably somewhat accurate at this point. I'm definitely an older and more ornery member of the Legacy community now, but I was my first reaction was, like, slight disappointment. I'm like, bro, we waited 2 months, and you could have done this, in September, basically. But I will say I am glad that, you know, I think they're taking a conservative approach, and I think I'm okay with that, because, you know, I honestly have been looking at bans in some other formats and being like, I would not want that for Legacy. In Modern, you know, a while back, they banned Mycosynth Lattice. Like, that's not even a card that's playable without Karn. So they've been doing basically nerf bans in other formats, and even more recently in Pauper, they banned Bonder's Ornament and some other just, like, dinky mana artifacts.
Excuse me, you will respect Prophetic Prism on this podcast. It literally got second place on the challenge this week.
Yeah, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is I would prefer, like, the most powerful cards that just need to be banned in Legacy. I don't want to just see random nerfs here and there. You see me on Twitter posting about all these cards that I, like, wish were not in the format, but it is a little bit of a slippery slope. If they start easing up on what to ban, then they can just, you know, there's probably a dozen cards they could consider banning, so I definitely don't want to see them go that far. So, you know, they're taking it easy. They're banning the one card that definitely needs to be banned. Maybe there are other cards that are, like, 50%.
Pure Armageddon. Just, like, set everything on fire, dude. My hands, you can't see it right now, but they're just, like, maniacally waving in the air. Set everything on fire. Ban Brainstorm, ban Teferi, and, you know, whatever. Ban Bayou. Let's go.
And ban Terminus.
Terminus is already soft banned.
Okay.
It's barely playable. It's like a one of.
Yeah, whatever Anirog card likes. I mean, I guess Miracles players probably don't even like Terminus.
Terminus's mom would like to have a discussion with you, Daniel.
Yeah, actually, I remember calling for Terminus ban like 5 years ago. I was like, that's the cheese card, the one mana board wipe instant. But times have changed. Now it's not even on the top 1,000 most played cards in Legacy at this point.
Are you happy with the results today, Daniel?
Yeah, but obviously I played Delver, so now I'm like, okay, Delver is... I saw on Twitter, the people were discussing, is Delver going to be better or worse now? And I don't know if I would say it's better or worse, but I know that the Delver mirrors are going to be way more enjoyable for me. And since that was like half the games in these tournaments, I'm looking way more forward to play it again, because I didn't enjoy playing the Ragavan mirrors as much. They felt a bit hectic and crazy. I like the slowing the pace down. It felt the heart was beating a bit too quickly when you'd sit down and your opponent would turn one Ragavan. It's just like, I can't handle this stressful situation. So now it's going to be more of a chill format, hopefully. But yeah, I like the bans a lot. Personally, that was my predictions.
Well, we won't talk about your honorable mentions, but yeah, you did get it right that Ragavan was the only card banned.
Wait, what are you talking? I'm going to blast this man to the moon. Daniel wanted Yorion to go get banned.
What
do
you mean?
Honorable mention.
I said my prediction, Ragavan, nothing else, but honorable mentions I'll have to give. Yorion and I put Urza Saga, but I put that for a very specific reason of that was the scenario where WotC wanted to start banning companions from the game.
When have they expressed that they want to start doing that? They've actually got like bent over backwards to keep companions in the game. They literally added power level errata, which they haven't done and got rid of, you know, a decade ago, and they just brought it back for this specific companion.
Well, let's just say in the next few years, I won't be surprised if they change their mind. They have a few years, so we'll see how it goes. That's why I put in honorable mentions. Yeah, but yeah, the reason I wanted Ragavan to be banned is I just thought, like, there's a lot of different opinions on what should be banned, but I just thought that, like, the format, I think, could actually be pretty decent now. Like, the gameplay is pretty fun. It was mostly I found Ragavan was just, like, a very unfun card.
I'm going to push. What about Ragavan did you not, like, what about playing Ragavan did you have, like, grievances with? Like, what causes, why is Ragavan, like, not a good card to play from your perspective? Now, keep in mind, if you're listening right now, I would like to think that I'm, like, you know, you're like your average Magic player. I see, you know, cool cards. I play cool cards. Daniel basically, like, lives just, like, on the isolated planet where, like, all the good Magic players are and has radically different thought processes. So I'm kind of excited to hear what Daniel has to think about the monkey and, like, why you don't like it, basically.
Yeah, I guess I could talk about Ragavan specifically. It's definitely kind of tricky. It's just kind of like, I don't feel like it's that satisfying of a creature to win with, in the sense that, like, it's kind of, I don't know how to say exactly, but, like, too powerful or does too much. Like, I feel it's, like, more satisfying to win with, like, Tarmogoyf or just, like, more fair creatures. I don't even know how to say. It's kind of like Dreadhorde Arcanist. Like, I didn't like when Dreadhorde Arcanist was legal because it was just, like, it did too much. It won the game too quickly. It wasn't, like, it felt like it all your opponent's stuff could be, like, too easily, too irrelevant, too quickly. And you did have to kind of, like, play a real game or, like, play on the other side. It feels like your opponent plays that one card. The game just ends so quickly. You don't have time to react to it. But I will say, like, as far as Ragavan, because there's other powerful cards people were talking about banning. But I do think, because I even saw Bob wanted, like, 10 cards banned. But I do think that the format, it's, like, a lot more powerful in general. Like, Elves has Allurosaurus Shepherd, D&T. Like, a lot of random decks are going to play Urza's Saga. There's cards like Caldras Complete, Yorion, Doomsday gets to play Sasa's Oracle. There's also, like, Veil of Summer. Like, Control deck's going to play Uro and Prismatic Ending, and so on. So I think there's just so many upgrades for, like, all the, like, decks in the format. Like, Painter's Servant gets to play Urza's Saga, too. So I think, like, it could be a reason. And then now Delver gets Murktide, which, like, because now, like, those Chalice decks got to play, like, Thought Monitor and Size, so they have some counterplay to it. So I think it could make sense to see a high power level format. I think it could actually be decent because, like, I don't think those cards are, like, too egregious or, like, Elvish Reclaimer. And I think, but I thought Ragavan was in particular kind of, maybe I didn't say it that well, but just, like, I don't know how to say it. Just, like, it doesn't make the games.
Yeah, let me try to put it another way. Yeah. So, you know, traditionally, when you're falling behind, you know, let's just go back a little bit further, like old school Canadian Threshold Delver. Like, when you're falling behind, what advantage are they gaining, basically? They're hitting you with a Delver. They're hitting you with a Tarmogoyf. And so your life total is basically a resource that you're falling behind on, but it's still a resource. Whereas with stuff like Ragavan, it's basically snowballing cards, which is a much harder resource to come back from than life. And then in addition to that, there's also obviously the feel bads of, like, kind of losing your own cards. As someone who's played a lot of Chalice decks recently, in particular the blue affinity deck, it was really, really painful if my opponent played a Ragavan and then stole my Chalice of the Void. It just made for so many more feel bads and is, like, a card that's, like, you know, much harder to recover from than, like, a Delver.
Yeah, I would add, like, to rephrase what I was going to say, I basically just think the card is, like, way too good compared to everything else. And, like, when one card's just, like, way better than everything else, like, maybe that's a weird way to put it, but when the rate is way above everything else, it's just, like, it makes the format kind of wonky.
As a professional something, I'd like to think that my mental game is pretty strong. You know, I'm pretty lighthearted. I'm pretty relaxed. I can understand when, you know, okay, maybe it just wasn't my day, or, like, you know, I made a mistake. So, like, you know, it's really just not my fault. Or, I mean, it is my fault or it isn't my fault. But something about Ragavan flipping castable spells, like Ragavan hitting my brainstorm, literally just makes, like, my head, like, I can feel, like, my brain, like, throbbing. I'm so angry when that happens. I don't really describe this, like, too often, but, you know, you're getting this real net right now. I just can't. I've actually, like, tilt scooped matches to Ragavan, like, CBR style, just like because I can't handle when that happens. You know what I mean? Like, the game is like completely balanced. There's actual good back and forth going on. And, you know, even the fact that Ragamon, like, if Ragamon just like it was so close to being a playable card, like if it just didn't do one of the billion things that it does, it would have been, I think it would have just been fine. Like, if it didn't flip a card, or if it didn't make the mana, or if it didn't have dash, or like any of that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like,
or it was a 1/1.
Anything, just like so many different things that it could have been. Oof, I don't know. I'm glad that it's gone, because that card really like brought out some of the worst in me in Magic, which is kind of weird to say. I don't know if other people feel this way or if it's just me.
Yeah, it felt similar. That's why it's just like when Ragavan was legal, I was not really looking forward to play Legacy, because I didn't really want to play games with or against it that much. Mm. So, and that's why I feel like the other cards in the format, I mean, I know a lot of people want Delver more banned and stuff, so maybe that's another thing. But I think like even with all the high power level cards, like a lot of people want like even Uro banned or cards like I'm not playing. And I think like with all these high power level cards, there could be an interesting, well balanced format overall.
Yeah.
But Ragavan was just too, I found it too tilting, and it was like, it's not even like fun in the first place. I'd rather just win with, you know, fair and square creatures. Even DRC and Murktide are busted. I guess it's controversial because a lot of people will say they're more busted, but in a more Tarmogoyf way,
Yeah, they're not more busted for sure. They're still snowballing damage. I mean, Murktide's a different animal because it's snowballing like way, way, way more damage than Tarmogoyf was. Like, it's basically a 2-turn clock in, you know, most instances. But that being said, it's still, you know, slower, it dies to Pyroblast, and it doesn't end the game on turn one.
You can counterplay,
Well, since we're shitting on cards right now, I'm going to shit on Murktide Regent, because I think this card is also pretty fucking egregious. I mean, like, and don't pardon my language because I feel strongly about this, but why did they make a card that literally kills you in 2 turns, also gets stronger if you have them in duplicates, and delve, there's so many things that, like, you could just look at that card and realize from the get-go that is going to be absolutely broken. I think people, like, when Modern Horizons 2 first came out,
I don't know if that was true, because I think when we looked at the card, we were like, yeah, maybe it's his play. I didn't think it was, like, it wasn't obvious to me that it was going to be, like, an 8-8 in more than, you know, 70% of the time.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I forgot. Bob, you're a little bit behind me when it comes to the brain department. No, is that what it is? No, I'm kidding. No, but I just think Murktide is also just a ridiculous card. Like, these are the kind of cards that just do too much for too little, and quite frankly, like, the cards that are coming out now, like, since Modern Horizons 2, I don't think we've gotten anything, like, too terrifying. And oddly enough, like, even though that doesn't mean we're, like, adding new cards to Legacy, I think just, like, the shock, the trauma from getting all these, like, really good cards, or, like, overly good cards
some,
is just,
you
like,
know, we've seen some fringe playables, like, there's Consider, people are playing Malevolent Hermit, and the Festivities, like, kind of just, like, really fringe upgrades, which I think is fine. We probably want to see a couple cards every set, but definitely nothing to the level of Modern Horizons 2, which I'm happy with. Okay, so here's another question. Obviously, you know, we're talking about Murktide Regent. I just think the new Delver decks basically just become 4 Delver, 4 Dragon's Rage Channeler, 4 Murktide. And, like, we're pretty much just doing the same thing we were doing before. And maybe, you know, there are matchups that Delver is better against now. Maybe there are matchups Delver is worse against now. But I just don't really see the format being that different, which is not necessarily a bad thing if you thought the format was fine other than the gameplay.
Whoa, are you crazy? The format's going to,
I mean, what's
going to
be different? I think, you know, those Jeskai Saga Van decks, like, those don't exist anymore. Or, like, if you want to play Urza Saga in a blue deck, it's probably, you know, even worse than it was before. So I think that part of the metagame is shifting, but I don't think Blue-Red Delver got much worse.
Okay, all right. You seem to have forgotten about a handsome, strapping young lad by the name of Jonathan Angelescu, who has not touched Sneak Attack or Show and Tell for a long, long time because Ragavan was just so ridiculous. So what I mean to say by this is that I think spell-based combo just finally gets to come back to the format, right? Like, literally, anytime that Jonathan isn't playing Sneak and Show, like something is not right. And I best bet this weekend he's going to be playing that. Yeah, I don't know, just like something about Roggevin like attacking you and stealing your duress and then just like taking your best card, like taking your Infernal Tutor, your Lion's Eye Diamond, stuff like that. It is now no longer going to happen. So I think this weekend, like especially for the Showcase Challenge coming up and then the PTQ next week, we're going to see some amount of spell-based combo. There has to be. Like, I think we're just so primed to get farmed by Sneak and Show because no one's really... It's not been on anyone's radar for, like, ever, and rightfully so. It just wasn't that good. And now I think it might be able to just, you know, herp-derp get some people.
I don't know.
Yeah, well... it'll be... I mean, I think the format's different in some ways, but also, like, maybe a spell-based combo's come back a bit. But also, it's like... A lot of the best cards are legal are like Iteration, Murktide, Dragonrage, Channeler. So I'd still expect the Delver deck to still be in some, like a deck playing those cards to be similar. And then probably most of the other decks look similar. But yeah, maybe, definitely it was a pain for combo, the Aragavan, especially Doomsday. It's the new spice of the week. What I was going to say about Murktide being busted, it's kind of like busted in a way. And obviously it's like Flying Hogak, but it's also the whole format's so power creep. Like, look at you control players trying to act innocent when you're spamming Uros and Prismatic Endings and all that.
Yeah, okay, fine.
That's what I'm saying. The format's super power creep. And it's, well, the difference between like a card like Murktide and Ragavan is that you actually can like play a game that goes like a few turns, you can cast your spells, whereas like Ragavan's just like, it's like a 7-for-1, like you can't even cast your spells. Whereas Murktide, at least you get to cast your spells. So that's why I think it's not as bad. But obviously when I first saw it, for a while I was calling it like a Flying Hogak. But yeah, I just think like, that's what I was saying. Like the whole format has so much increased power level in like every single deck. And right now what Delver has is it has like DRC Murktide as its new power level cards. Maybe it's too good, but I think it makes sense why it got a power level upgrade like the whole format did.
Yeah, my thoughts on the format. Okay, with regards to Uro and Prismatic Ending, one thing I will just say, I think Prismatic Ending is a card that is like, it does give me like red flag vibes. I think it's not a card that most people would be like, oh, wow, this is egregious. But like having too much good removal is a lot, Bob. I think you might agree with this as well. I'm happy that it exists emotionally because I like having, you know, a solid Bant deck or whatever. I like winning with control. But then also, like, I do agree that just like generically being able to like right click, point and delete is not necessarily like, okay, the concept of like balance between healthy, it's probably balanced, but it's not healthy, right? Like you can't have answers to everything. And realistically speaking, maybe it's not even balanced. Maybe control does somehow become super good. I don't know.
I mean, control already was putting up really good numbers towards the end of, you know, this Roggevin era. So I definitely expect that to continue. And the card I would compare Prismatic Ending to is Arkham's Astrolabe. It's pretty similar in that basically Astrolabe, you know, let you play all the colors, so you were playing all the removal you wanted to do, and now it's going to be more or less the same thing. Now, I have heard kind of counter arguments, like, you know, my argument against Prismatic Ending is that, like, there's not really good reasons to be playing, you know, Punishing Fire, red deck, red control decks, or, like, you know, Assassin's Trophy, black-green decks, or Plague Engineer. Like those things are okay, but... Ending is overall just better. But then the counter argument I've heard is that, hey, those cards I just listed, they're just not good anymore because the threats have upgraded. Like we have Cauldra, we have Murktide Regent. Like you really just need to be playing white. And
that sounds like a Pokemoki thing.
Right. So yeah. So where do you stand? Like, do you think that the control decks, you know, that are other colors would be, you know, unplayable? I think they would be playable, but control would overall be worse, is kind of my take.
That's a really good question. I don't know, dude. I think the threats are definitely a lot better. I don't know. Yeah, it'd be tough, man. No Prismatic Ending. I don't know how you keep up with everything else in the format, right? Because the problem with control is like, I mean, you saw this like during the Oko era, like before we had Prismatic Ending, right? Is that we literally had to splash black and green to play Abrupt Decay to handle stuff because we just did not have the appropriate amount of removal in Swords to Plowshares alone. Now, if you go back like a long time ago, like I'm talking like top counterbalance era, that's when you had like cards like Red Elemental Blast that were effective as removal or good enough as removal spells. But then like back then too, like there was a lot more like stack-based interaction too. So I don't know. It's really tricky. Also, Terminus was a playable card back then. So I guess this is if you think about it, you normally will need to have like at least like 8 to like 10 playable removal spells post-board. And without Prismatic Ending right now, it could be tricky. Then again, maybe you just say Splash Abrupt Decay again. But then like, then you have like issues with mana bases, but that's good. It's complicated, man. I don't even know where I would go with that.
Yeah, I never had issue with Prismatic Ending, but I guess it's because I play a deck where it doesn't really matter against me that much.
What? You play Delver, removal spells don't matter?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm playing fancy stuff. Like, I'm not one of those hipsters flinging Sylvan Libraries trying to get all tricky or whatever. I don't know. Or Chalice. Those are probably the guys who are like, how can they just Prismatic Ending my cards?
I can see the meme too with the tears and everything.
The removal spell they're playing was going to hit your creature anyways.
I can see how Prismatic Ending could be like, oh, it's not that interesting because you don't need to pick and choose. But also, I don't know. Like, there are ways you can adapt to it. Like, I play Court of Cunning in Delver because you can kill every threat. So, you know, there's ways you can get around it by playing, like, tricky cards. But, yeah.
All right. What about the other super overpowered control card, Uro? Like, I think Ending and Uro are what make control tick right now. Like, if Uro goes... Is control too far weakened?
Yeah, it's not even close. There's you don't have a deck without it, right? Then you go back to like 2019, like stinky, like, okay, what was it? What was the Grand Prix? I went 12-3 at a Grand Prix playing Jeskai Miracles right before Teferi and Narset came out. And my God, that deck was so bad. That deck had literal like multiple copies of Portent and was just hoping to get super lucky, like that you just didn't stumble on your mana and things like this and that. Like you played a lot of cantrips. Like like Uro is just like a way to keep up with like all the other power creep that happens. Although I will argue, I have hit Uro's fail rate a lot, but I don't know if...
What do you mean by fail rate? Like
it just doesn't get there. Like it's too slow. Like, on turn three, you keep a hand that has, like, Force Uro. You're like, oh, okay, I'll get there. And then your opponent goes, like, Alistar Shepherd. Thanks for the game loss, you fucking noob. You scrub.
That sounds like a problem with Alistar Shepherd.
No, every time I play against elves, I just hear them... in my mind, I just hear them, like, laughing at my Uro, being like, oh, well, this card doesn't do anything. And, I mean, like, okay, it's good against Delver.
I mean, elves have completely changed their game plan. It's totally obnoxious. Their entire game plan is based around finding Alistar Shepherd and Cradle now, and that's why they play like Reclaimer and all that jazz. But and they also play, you know, Once Upon a Time and Green Sun Zenith. So and also I've had like multiple opponents just natural order for Alistar Shepherd many times. So it's obviously a ridiculous card. But yeah,
I don't know. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere. I think 3 mana is a lot, especially because like the Uro decks in general. Okay, here's the fundamental, right? And this is the reason I think Ragavan is egregious, and also the kind of reason I think a card like Murktide Regent is egregious. But it just all boils down to mana, right? Like when you think about anything in Magic, you need to boil it down to like just like the atomic structure that makes this game tick, which is just mana, right? So I think with Ragavan, it has like that Dark Ritual effect where it can ramp you out in mana or whatever it is, right? Like generates the treasure token every turn. With Murktide Regent, it's 2 mana to get a ridiculous amount of power, which is kind of an interesting thought experiment, right? Like how much is too much power for 2 mana, or how much is too much power for 3 mana or 1 mana, right? Those kind of things, right? Uro does things with mana. Like the reason it's playable is because it puts a land into play. If it didn't do that, I don't think anyone would ever play it. But it doesn't do anything before turn three, which in a lot of cases in Legacy, you know, other things are happening and you just don't have time to even play it. So you can make arguments against it. I mean, the resiliency is just kind of stupid. I wish there was an easier way to get rid of Uro that wasn't like Surgical Extraction or whatever. I mean, Endurance is not bad, but I do think that like moving forward, like having a better plan for Uro, whether it is, you know, more dedicated hate for the matchups, or, you know, just completely ignoring it by playing combo decks, things like that. Like, those are things we'll definitely want to be considering.
I can think of a pretty good hate card for Uro called Urza's Saga.
Yeah, that's a good one too, right?
Well, I was going to say about Uro and control is I feel like the control decks are, like, not that good in the format. So that's, like, why can't you just leave them alone? Like, there's just, like, this sad Uro pile where they just, like, spam spells and hope Uro gets there.
Damn, well, also, I'm literally right here.
Well, the thing about Uro, yeah, I just felt like, yeah, it's like a really busted card, but at this point in Legacy, the format's so busted overall that I feel like it's fine. Like, when I play Delver, and I'm like, not like, oh man, Uro's so unbeatable because I'm just going to sideboard like 10 Court of Cunnings and it's fine or whatever.
I want to put an emphasis iterations on that. If you want to beat Uro, just play Court of Cunnings, straight up.
I mean, there's a little counterplay. You can play more Ice Fangs and Snapcasters and...
I find that doesn't work normally, but sure.
Well, the thing about Court... Because a lot of people always freak out and they're like, what if you're flashing creatures? But it's kind of like this, because like the Delver deck, usually you try and kill your opponent by like playing these creatures. And the Bant deck's like pretty prepared because it has Uro, it has blah, 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 blah. But the thing about Court of Cunning is now your whole game plan just becomes protect Court of Cunning. So all you have to do is just resolve it and stop their creatures. So then it's like, gets a lot harder than you would think in practice that hit was a thing. But also, like, when they tap out for a row, then you can, like, slam court. But yeah, like, I just felt like the control decks, like, all the decks, like, he's getting farmed by elves already. Every, like, half the decks in the format play Urza Saga. So that's why I felt like control can have can Uro, because I feel like the format can keep up, you know, for now.
You know, speaking of Urza Saga, I feel similarly about Urza Saga because I think it's an absurdly powerful card, like probably more busted than Uro, but it also does seem to slot in the fair non-blue decks that, you know, traditionally have been like Shmedium at best.
Did you just say Shmedium?
And now it's like a deck like Painter or Affinity are just like real powerhouses or like solid choices when they weren't before. And like I was mentioning earlier, I think with Raghavan banned, I think blue Urza Saga decks get even worse. So I think, you know, Urza Saga will mostly go in fair non-blue decks that kind of, I don't mind buffing them with like a mega OP card.
Yeah, I think Saga actually does a really good thing for the non-blue decks. I don't know if there's a way, like maybe with Raghavan gone now, the blue decks won't be able to play it because here's the thing, right? With Urza Saga, one of the reasons I think it's so good in these non-blue decks is because they have so much stuff to do with their mana. They have a lot of clunky spells, right? Like think like Knight of the Reliquary, right? Urza Saga, you play it, cast a Knight of the Reliquary, it's super, super good. Then what happens, right? The non-blue decks don't have like Brainstorm, they don't have Ponder to like find a follow-up play or a follow-up response, and so that means they have all this leftover mana with like nothing to do with it, except now making construct tokens is actually kind of a good thing. Now, you know, pouring mana into the Retrofitter Foundries is actually a good thing. And also Urza Saga works really, really well with like like ramp, you know what I mean? That's why it comboed so well with Raghavan. But if you play like, you know, Birds of Paradise or like whatever, like Mox Diamond, those kind of things, you know, I've been playing a little bit of Mox Diamond in like the Uro deck just to try it out. And this was, it's actually kind of filthy, the kinds of things that you can do. And powering out your Urza Sagas in with Mox Diamond, it's just a strong thing, right? Like, so I don't know. I'm happy about Saga for the non-blue decks. Now that Raghavan can't generate tokens, you know, Saga just becomes a lot harder to activate. You just don't have time, right? And this is the same thing that I think, like, the mana is what made Delver truly broken, right? Because Expressive Iteration is a card that we have yet to talk about, which is also one that I think will, you were mentioning, like, Delver is going to be 4 Delvers, 4 Murktides, 4 Dragon's Rage Channelers, but I also think it's going to be, like, 4 Expressive Iterations, right? Draft number 1 is going to have those 16 cards. Okay, fine. Plus 4s, plus days. So that's, like, 24 cards at least. Okay,
20, Lightning Bolt.
28 cards at least. You know what I mean? But, like, Expressive Iteration is also a card that is going to become a lot worse in this deck in a majority of matchups, not against, like, Control, for example. That's a slow matchup in general. But, like, in a majority of matchups, Iteration becomes a lot harder to cast because you just don't have free mana coming your way every single turn, right? Like, in the creature matchups, imagine the curve of, like, all right, well, turn 1, Raghavan. Okay, Ponder, Bolt you. Like, you know, like, connect, and then the turn after you get to do Expressive Iteration plus multiple game actions. That is not going to be a thing anymore, right? That is just straight up, like, it is going to be a turn 3 2 mana play that time walks you. Maybe you get a land off of it, but, you know, you're gonna fall behind on the board, this that. Like, I'm hoping that's what happens, but maybe the card is just so busted, maybe the shell will still be so busted. That also, like, now days and iteration, there's a huge cost there, right? If you days on turn 1 or 2, when are you going to cast your Expressive Iteration? So I don't know, that sort of like longevity power, you know, Delver no longer will have that kind of, like, okay, not no longer will, but like it will be nerfed, right? That ability to grind, which I think is a great thing. I really enjoyed the days when, like, you know, the deck was truly a tempo deck and, like, had to actually use the stifles properly, had to get Nimble Mongoose online in time, had to top deck that lethal Lightning Bolt. Like, nowadays it's more just like blue red Jund, which is like, okay, you know, but whatever. We already have a Jund deck in the format and it's called Uro.
Yeah, okay. I think we're all pretty aligned. And I don't know, I guess actually, Anurag, so you, do you feel like you would have gotten further, or you think this is kind of, you know, a good place to stop for now?
I mean,
in terms of bans.
In an ideal world, I think a lot of things logistically need to change, right? So let's talk about some good things first, because I want to give credit where credit is due. I know WotC takes a lot, like, gets a lot of shit for, like, the way they do things, but credit where credit is due. The way Gavin handled the Pauper presentation last Thursday was maybe one of the best, like, best BNR announcements Wizards has done ever. In fact, I will say it was the best announcement that they have done ever. So if you aren't aware, on MTG Weekly, that's streamed on Twitch, on twitch.tv/magic, every like Thursday at 2:30 PST, Gavin came on and was like, hey, guys, you know, we have finally come to a conclusion, the Pauper panel and we are going to ban these three cards from the format. And he gave very extensive reasons why. He provided, you know, some data, and then he also did more than that, right? He went above and beyond by saying, we considered banning this card, we considered banning that card, but ultimately we decided we had to ban Atog, okay? Then we looked at Tron, and we said, okay, what are the issues that are going on here? Well, fundamentally, you know, the mana is just too strong in the deck, so let's nerf the mana a little bit. And then he said, what I think is the most important thing to say is that we are, you know, this is... like, we're going to evaluate after a month, and we'll come back with more announcements. We'll come back with more updates and decisions and things like that. And they did mention that in the Legacy BNR here. They said, we'll be keeping an eye on how the format continues to evolve. But again, like, what I'm nervous about is that, like, in text, I don't get that same reassurance. You know, they said in a tweet, let's see what happens in Eternal Weekend. And then we had to wait 2.5 months for, you know, like, this... that you said it could have happened in September, right? Like, literally, in the BNR announcement today, Wizard says, although recent tournaments, including Eternal Weekend in November, haven't been conclusive, why did we not hear that in November? Why are we suddenly hearing about this at the end of January, right? And so that's one of the things I like about Gavin's Pauper panel. And just, like, in general, like, the idea of, like, having someone that you can talk to, like, video face-to-face, you can ask questions, they can talk back to you in real time, really reassuring. I don't know. That's the one thing that I just kind of felt like, logistically, I wish that whatever this Legacy announcement was done in that same prior format. But, you know, maybe in the future we'll get something like that if we are so lucky.
All right. Well, so it sounds like you're pro a Legacy format panel, but I think you're seeing, like, some of the positives and not necessarily, you know, all of the potential negatives. Like, there's just so many questions with having a format panel. Like, A, it's like, who do you put on there? And then B, it's like, well, if these people who are on there, like, do you really want, you know, the general public, like, advocating for what they want? And now they have, like, actually a list of people to go to and just, like, bother them / you know, attack them if they ban cards that you didn't want them to ban. I don't know. I thought, like, and I also, you know, I like the transparency 100% with you there, but I don't know if I, like, 100% agree with the bans in Pauper. Obviously, I'm not really an expert on the format, but, you know, Daniel was also saying, like, you know, did Tron even need a ban, first of all? And then second of all, like, personally, I don't really like these nerf bans that they went with. So, like, it's cool that they explained it, but I don't even know, like, if I were a big Pauper player, if I would have been for that.
Well, I can say about the Tron ban, so I was kind of trolling because the cards looked really weird, but apparently they were saying, like, Tron had a really high win rate in leagues or something, and also Tron's kind of a deck that tilts people in general, so... maybe, yeah,
but okay,
it.
So, well, here's another question. If a deck is winning a lot, but then it is not, like, the most popular deck, do you have to ban something? I'm not sure that you do. Like, if only, you know, if Tron were still a small percent of the metagame.
I think the answer to that question has already been proven in the past, right?
What do you mean, like, with Breach, or, like, what are you saying?
No, Matt Nass and KCI.
Yeah, and, like, Amulet Titan and Lantern Control.
Yeah, alarmingly high win rates at a consistent rate for a small percent of the metagame. I think Wizards has already, like, shown that they'll be willing to make changes for that. So
I guess it depends on the definition of, like, alarmingly high. Like, if it's, like, 60%, then, you know, maybe that's a little bit too high. But if it's 55, which is, like, enough for a ban if it's the most popular deck, but not enough if it's, like, you know, 5% of the meta. I don't know.
I'm reading in the chat right now from Pauper Experts Toad's Horse. I'm reading your comment. He says the bans in Pauper were great. So basically the idea is that Affinity was keeping Tron in check. And so this is a preemptive nerf to the Tron deck just to make sure that it doesn't get too crazy.
Okay.
So I don't know. That is something that I think is kind of smart.
They have done things like that before in Standard, like the Velociraptor being the main case of that. I just don't know if I want it for Legacy. Like, like, what if they banned Endurance this time around? Like, it's kind of a, you know, really good card for control, but it's not really the best card or the problem card.
Yeah, it's tricky. See, like, here's my thoughts on BNR in general, and one of the reasons, this is one of the biggest shortcomings of Magic the Gathering. As great as paper is, and as cool as the brain chemicals are that you get from playing in paper, the actual physical construct, they're just, like, so it's like such a boomer thing, you know what I mean? Like look at every other game out there, and this is one of the reasons why I am a huge fan of Alchemy, which maybe not many people are, but I'm a huge fan of Alchemy because I really believe that like having cards that can be nerfed, you know, in real time is so much better than just like deleting cards, right? Like imagine if there was a playable version of Roggevon out there, right? Some people are going to be genuinely sad that Roggevon is gone. Some people are going to be genuinely sad that Sensei's Divining Top got banned in 2017. You know what I mean? Like having a way to like remedy that is in my mind, like it's something that Hearthstone has. Okay, maybe Hearthstone players don't like it as much, but it's certainly better than just like losing the card entirely, right? Like at least you get to like play certain things certain ways. And I don't know. I think it's just, it's really nice to be able to like nerf cards. So I guess I disagree with you there. Well, a little bit.
I don't know. Is a nerf card even the same card? I question that.
I do think it is in some ways, because it's kind of like a card usually has a pretty distinct sort of feel to it, and then you can rebalance it so people can play it. Like I would say Roggevon, like how I would nerf it, is I would just change it so it doesn't make mana, but you can spend mana of any color to cast a spell. Because also something I noticed with Roggevon is sometimes it would steal sweet spells. Like yesterday I stole a Grist, but I couldn't even cast it. So that was a pretty bad play experience for me as a Roggevon player.
We don't cater to okay, I'm just not going to finish that thought. Never mind.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you take away the treasure ability and then just make it so you can cast a spell, but make it any color, or maybe make it a 1/1 and do that, like there's probably ways you could rebalance it. I don't know. It would be kind of weird because like if you don't ban cards, then like, I don't have to say like maybe the format gets too congested with too many good cards. I don't know if that's a real argument or not, but like it there would be like so many like similarly powerful. But I don't know if that's a good argument. I mean, Alchemy is definitely interesting, but also that's kind of like Magic's kind of been like not really a video game. It's like a paper game. So that's why I feel like most people don't want that in the picture, just because of the Magic being a paper game where here's your cards and you play them and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I guess I just don't get attached to cards or even decks necessarily. I mean, I get a little bit more attached to decks.
Yeah, right. If Days got banned, you would be sad. You would be so sad, Boblog. Don't lie to me.
I play a lot of like non-blue decks all the time.
You'd be calling me at 2 a.m. at night being like, oh, Anu, I don't understand. Why did they do that to my boy, Days? All he did was look shocked.
All right, well, actually, so this is a little bit reading between the lines, but reading the actual ban announcement. In addition to the high league win rates and large tournament metagame population, we've heard much discussion of tendency of games to snowball from an early Roggevon, backed up by protective spells like Days and Force of Will. I think they are actually saying with the sentence they are not banning Days or Force of Will. Like they're kind of just giving it as a assumption that Legacy has Days and Force of Will. So I'm probably, you know, not really expecting a Days ban anytime soon, even though people are talking about it.
Oh yeah, some people have really wanted a Days ban because they just really don't like this archetype or think it's too oppressive. I am not in that camp. I understand being in that camp. I think that we have seen iterations of Delver that have not been oppressive, and that they just keep printing cards that make Delver like super silly good. Like I almost wonder, like if you unbanned Renin 6 with Prismatic Ending in the format, how bad would it really be? But I'm not really about to like fuck around and find out, you know what I mean? Like those like random like 3 a.m. thoughts that keep me up.
I just feel like those overpowered cards that have been banned in the past, like Deathrite, you know, Sensei's Divining Top, Oko, Renin 6, I've seen the play patterns. I'm not really that interested in hashing it out again, even if they're like, sure, quote unquote, more appropriate for today's power level. I just don't care. Like, I don't really, like, I don't have any nostalgia for those cards, is what I was trying to say earlier, basically. So I would really never unban anything that's been banned that we've seen. I would rather try something new, like, you know, unban Mind Twist, unban, you know, nerfed Zerda. Those are cards I'd be more interested in seeing.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I think that's totally fine. I think Oko crosses some lines, Renin 6 that crosses some lines. So I'm not willing to fuck around and find out, like I said. But yeah, that is kind of interesting. Like your overall takeaway here is that they are not going to go after Days, which makes me wonder. I mean, WotC has not actively said, hey, we're going to give Days the Mishra's Workshop treatment. So that, by that, I mean like in Vintage, they have literally gone on record. I think, what was it? Did Aaron go out and say that we're never going to ban Workshop in Vintage because it is the soul and identity of the, is part of the identity of the format? And I kind of get the feeling that we need to hear from Wizards whether or not this is a Days format. I think that would give a lot of people, well, okay, not, maybe they wouldn't be happy with what is said, but it does like sort of end a chapter, right?
Closure.
Like, yeah, closure, right? Because you get to know, yeah, like, you don't have to be on the fence this entire time thinking about, well, will Days ever actually get banned? Will there be a chance where I get to play with my like 2 and 3 drops on curve? I personally think the answer is no, because I mean, Days is literally just so iconic. Plus, like, it has some incredible play patterns in games where, like, you know, it's like Days versus the threat of Days, and like, you know, how much do you win, how much do you lose, how much can you afford to play around. It's a card that is, you can very easily play around in certain situations, but when you combine it with really, really ridiculous cards, that's when it becomes a problem. So the question is Days in and of itself a ridiculous card, or are the ridiculous cards the ridiculous cards? And I know I'm using my words in a very specific way to make you like answer a certain way, like I'm pushing it in a direction, but I genuinely do think that like if you print broken cards, you're gonna run into problems with like Days, you know what I mean? So stop printing broken cards, just don't, you know? Next time you play Ren, next time you have like Ren and Six, just like wait, stop, be like, wait, take a deep breath. No.
All right, well, here's a question. Do you think there should be more Modern Horizons sets?
Oh yeah, of course, dude. They've come out with some pretty good cards in Modern Horizons. I mean, I do expect that if they do come out with another Modern Horizons set, they will mess it up 100%, like it's just going to happen. But I also think that, like, for example, the elemental invocations are great. You know, the benefits for the Modern Horizon sets to Modern, for example, are I think it's pretty good, right? Maybe somebody can, who's like watching right now, let me know what you think. Like, do you think Modern Horizons 2 was a net benefit for Modern? I would lean towards yes. Maybe not all of it, but
I think it was very polarized. Well, I don't know if polarizing is the right word, but I think what really happened with Modern Horizons 2 is so many decks basically became obsoleted and the format gameplay became much better. So I think, you know, I think most people would agree, or, you know, people complained a lot about Modern being two ships passing in the night. Now all of the kind of 4-drop decks are like heavily interactive decks. So I think that in general, most people would agree it is an improvement. But at the same time,
I'm reading chat right now. Like a lot of people, like I think nobody has said no. Everybody is saying that it has been a net benefit in some way.
Well, okay, but that's probably because you got a bunch of dirtly control players in your chat. There are people out there. Let me finish. There are people out there who, you know, liked playing these super, you know, ships passing the night ad nauseum deck. Then they banned some in Spirit Guide, Grishelbrand. They also, you know, Spirit Guide ban hit that as well. There are people out there who, you know, enjoyed Modern as like the like lol format where you could just do your own thing, like play Infect, you know, play these weird combo decks, play Tron. And now it's like, you know, those decks are not going to be as competitive as they were before. And so it's kind of like what we've seen in Legacy over time, where, you know, a lot of decks like Goblins or Merfolk have been like, you know, more power crept out of the format. And that was a larger percentage of the Modern player base. So I would say maybe like, overall, the gameplay is better, but then there are, you know, players that were hurt by the recent influx of Modern Horizons 2/bans.
Okay, Bob. Daniel, go for it. What?
Well, I would say that I think Hammer, like, there's still, like, some good combo decks. Like, I think, like, Hammer Time, you could argue, is the best deck in the format, though maybe it's more fair than other decks, or, like, it's like you can play Underworld Breach combo. You can play, people still play Belcher. I think it even won the mocks, like, a couple months ago, literally Belcher. So I think the cheesy, there's all the dredges still played. But also, I would say this thing about that, though, is like, I think it might have been more miserable for those people back when, like, the meta was like just like Jund, Shadow, and Heliod like a year ago, because like you play Merfolk and you're losing to like boring decks or boring cards. So at least now you're losing to cool cards like Urza Saga and, you know what I mean? Like, the format was just kind of stale because it was just like Heliod wasn't that interesting, the Death Shadow wasn't that interesting. Now there's all these flavors. I mean, there's these crazy blink decks, but you can play Torpor Orb. I do feel the general sentiment, I mean, you could say in the chat, is people like Modern. Also, I would say, yeah, regarding the Days bans, a lot of, like, you were saying, like, a lot of people are like, well, they keep having to ban these cards, so Days is the issue. I would also say that, yeah, I think all these cards were just, like, issues by themselves. Like, I think Dreadhorde Arcanist, I think that card should be banned anyway. Renin 6, I don't even know why that card was ever printed. And, like, Deathrite Shaman doesn't look that bad in retrospect. That's just net because it's like 6 or 7 years ago. Like, I was always saying, like, when Ragavan was legal, I think I'd way rather have Deathrite Shaman legal than Ragavan. I don't know if it's like, you know, too good or whatever because they banned it like 7 years ago. I mean, I guess like 3 years ago, but it came out like 7 years ago. But I would say regarding Days, I would say it's like correlations, not causation. Like, I think like these other busted cards should be banned for other reasons. Maybe Days is busted and should be banned. And yeah, Days makes these cards a lot better. Like, Days makes Ragavan and Dreadhorde Arcanist a lot better. But I also think these cards are probably just like too good in general. Like you see them in Vintage, like Ragavan is, I mean, I don't know, Vintage players always disagree with me, but it's like when, like sometimes I've played a bit of Vintage recently and I go like turn one Ragavan and my opponent's like, oh, I guess I got a Force of Will that. Or like you play Dreadhorde Arcanist. And it, like, the point is, these cards just scale it in more powerful, better in older formats. Like, people will be like, well, Ragavan and Dreadhorde aren't that good modern, so why are they good Legacy? But I think these cards actually get way more powerful the older the formats go. Like, you're playing Legacy and you have 4 Ponder, 4 Brainstorm, 4 Swords to Plowshares, whatever, so your Dreadhorde Arcanist is just, like, unbeatable. Whereas in modern, it's like Serum Visions, that's not even playable in the first place. Or, like, Ragavan scales in Legacy because there's not as much creatures, not as much removal. The curves are way lower. When you play Modern, people are literally trolling with Young Wolf for
whatever. You gotta respect the Young Wolf, son. You don't know the kinds of things Young Wolf can do. Oh.
Well, yeah. I'm saying that's what people playing. Like, I'm playing Hammer Time with, like, 4 Memnites. But, like, Ragavan's, like, also... and also the mana is like not as useful in modern as it is in legacy too. Like that's also the thing. Like in the older formats, the mana actually gets a lot better. Like you make 1 mana in modern, it's like no big deal. But you make 1 extra mana in vintage or legacy, it's like wah wah wee wah. Especially everybody's wastelanding each other and all that, and the land counts are low. But yeah, I do think like I would kind of say, I don't know if that's the right thing to say. Correlation is not causation. Like I think these cards are busted, and I would say Daze is another issue. Like yeah, it makes these busted cards better, but I don't think you want to live in, like, imagine if we lived in a format where Daze was banned, but you could play Ren and Six, Ragavan, Dreadhorde Arcanist. Like, could you imagine that blue soup deck? Like,
I don't even want to. No, and I'm honestly really just like, I'm tilted that you even said that, to be quite honest.
That's what I'm saying, because a lot of people are like, oh, these cards are fine, Daze is the issue. I'm like, no, I think Daze actually, because I'll say one interesting thing, I don't know if it's a popular take or not, but I think Daze actually might make the blue decks, more balanced in a way. Well, that might sound really crazy what I'm saying, but basically, what I'm saying is, okay, imagine if Daze was banned, right? And I'm not saying, I don't have that strong of an opinion, but okay, I'll just continue. So imagine if Daze was banned, here's what would happen to the format. Like, what are the best cards in Legacy for the blue decks? It's like Ponder, which sometimes people say, why is Ponder good? Just pretend it's Demonic Tutor. You know, Brainstorm, Fetch Lands, Force of Will. Like, that's kind of, if you think about what's the best cards in Legacy, some people will say, yeah. So the best shot, it's like, yeah, Ponder, Brainstorm, Fetch Lands, Force of Will. So it's like, means you have these insane cantrips. You have, like, Fetch Lands, which means insane mana that work with your cantrips. You have Force of Will, 0 mana counterspell. So that's kind of the base shell. It's not really, I don't think Daze is much. And then what's going to happen is just going to be like people trying to fit all these cards in like these various blue soup decks. And then it might become these kind of wonky mid-range battles. Whereas Delver kind of forces people to sort of play into a kind of, not like, it makes it so that people aren't just like trying to out mid-range each other in these wonky blue soup decks. But I could see why people want Daze banned. Like, it's very tilting to get Daze. It's very annoying that you can't cast a spell without getting countered for free. So I could see, you know, it being reasonable or whatever. But I do think, like, there would be unforeseen consequences for people that, like, basically the format would become all blue soup decks. And probably people would get, you know, might not enjoy that as much. And you could talk about, like, banning other cards. But I think I like having those cards legal in Legacy because I feel like that's a format where you get to play Ponder, Brainstorm, Fetchlands, Force of Will. That's my take on it.
Okay, yeah, that is a lot. There's a lot of information there. I'm still trying to digest calling Ponder Demonic Tutor, but no, I think I can see your perspective.
Or what I mean by that is because sometimes people remember people didn't play Ponder at first, or people are like Ponder's not that good. So like that's what I say to explain to a player if somebody's like new to Legacy or they're like, why is Ponder a good card? And I would say, like, just pretend it's Demonic Tutor. Like, it's in your hand, and it can be whatever you want it to be in your deck. And then you'll realize why it's a good card. Because I know even Jeff, he was saying, why do people play Ponder? Just cut it from the deck. It's 1 mana, do nothing. Like, that's the heuristic I would use to think of it. Like you disagree with what I was saying there about it. I mean, Daze is a hot topic. Like, I don't know if the format would be better or worse, but that's kind of my vision. If it's banned, it would become mid-range battles, and people might be like, and I like being able to play Delver. I don't want to play these mid-range battles, but I don't know.
Do you remember the modern format where it was like Uro, Mystic Sanctuary, and like Field of the Dead, yeah, and all that sort of stuff? I get a feeling like that's what it would become, and I don't particularly think that's very interesting, right? Like, if you want Magic to be an exciting game, I do like I like punches. I don't like, you know, like, I don't know, Ragavan power, punches at the power level of Ragavan. Yeah. There you go. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. But I don't want it to be some sort of like snooze fest where we're just like, okay, my 2/2 trades with your 2/2. Here, I'll make 5 more 2/2s and they're all trade with all 5 of your 2/2s. And that sort of stuff is just, it's just not for me.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, like, I feel like it gives Legacy that retro feeling that you have like this, like the Delver decks, the way that they're built, where you have like very low curve Ponder, Lightning Bolt, Daze. it gives it this retro nice feeling, whereas if you take it away and it's all mid-range decks, the format's going to feel like Commander Fest 50-50.
Yeah. No, I will already tell you this. I think Drago Control as an archetype in all of Magic, I think, is just kind of dead. Okay, that's just one thing. I think maybe it's coming back a little bit in like the online formats, or sorry, arena formats, but I think in Legacy it's dead. In Modern, you have this blue-white deck or whatever, but that's not even like, it's not even like that great. Unbanning counter, or oh, sorry, legalizing Counterspell in Modern helps a little bit with it, but you know, Drago is not even close to what it once used to be. And then also, I think if you get rid of Daze, I don't know where else you can even find like tempo in Magic, right? Because like even in Modern, like I remember back when people tried to play like Delver of Secrets with their Spell Pierces and like, you know, Gurmag Anglers and Stubborn Denials, but there's just no way that was competitive back then or even competitive today. So like, I don't know. I like having those archetypes exist in Legacy because there's, I don't want to lose that piece of Magic. I don't know. Maybe that's not a real reason to keep something around, though.
You know what gives tempo in Modern, though? Without even joking, it's Lurrus. Like, that's what Hammer Time and Grixis Shadow does. They just play super low curve, and then they have Lurrus as, like, a way to take advantage of that low curve. But obviously, that's a busted card. But that's kind of, like, if you look at attention to Modern now, Grixis Shadow is one of the most popular decks. And it's, like, not, it's, like, just, like, really low curve, kind of like a Delver deck in Legacy. But Lurrus is kind of what lets it get away with that, or the reward for that. Which is funny. Yeah.
Bob, I want to go back to one thing that you were talking about, which was like Modern being like two ships sailing in the night, or once was something like that with, you know, sort of non-interactive decks or whatever, combo decks, whatever. I feel like Modern today might be the grindiest format out there, right? Like it is, everything about Modern right now screams that it's an attrition-based format, whether it is with like Lurrus and Hammer Time and Urza's Saga, or if it's like with all the Planeswalkers and the four-color control deck. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that is not necessarily a bad thing for Modern to be right now, just given that, well, I don't know. Like, I remember, like, back in the day, like, part of the reason why I was just so uninterested in Modern was because it was literally, like, a bunch of, like, solitaire strategies that you'd have to, like, draw your sideboard cards to, you know, have impact in certain matchups. And nowadays, I just feel it's like, you know, well, all my tools can, you know, have a little bit of accessibility here or there or left or right or whatever it is. I don't know. I kind of think that's a cool thing. That, you know, I'd rather have.
Yeah, I think it's definitely better from a gameplay perspective. I'm just making the point that, you know, it's also become a much more expensive format. And, you know, a lot of people got into Modern because it was much cheaper than Legacy.
Oh,
like
fair
most,
enough.
You know, tier one decks were definitely under $500 before. That's definitely not the case anymore. And, you know, added to that, to the fact that decks just keep getting obsoleted. So I think that's the other, you know, problem with power creep.
It's really weird, though, because one thing that I really, I did, you know, applaud Gavin and the Popper panel for their brilliant presentation on their changes to the format. But again, you know, reloading this page on January 25th, 2002 and scrolling down, you know, there's like so many formats that they're talking about here. And the only instance of the word Modern I can find is in the Legacy description where they talk about Modern Horizons 2, right? So I'm really upset that they didn't even like mention Modern as a format. What I really would have liked to see here, because let's be real here, right? Like, there are some people out there with grievances in the format, either saying that Lurrus is too good, I'd be so happy to see the cap gone, or, you know, Raghavan is a problem in this format, or whatever it is, right? Like, I'm a little bit upset that they didn't give a segment to Modern where they just, like, talked about no changes. Because no changes, in and of itself, is still an action, right? It is the, well, it's kind of weird, but it's like the action of not doing something, which, or maybe, I don't know, Null Rod, is it doing anything, or is it not doing a thing, or is it nothing? Okay, you get what I'm trying to say, right? Like, I feel like if you have no changes on your BNR list, you still need to justify it, right? You need to say, hey, you know, this is what we see on our end. This is why we don't think we're going to make any changes here. Everything is balanced. Numbers are looking good. You know, nothing like this, nothing like that. There's no, like, egregious fundamental error, like, at a molecular level, blah, 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 science terms here. Like, nothing. Instead, the only instance of the word Modern I can find is in last summer's Modern Horizons 2 release introduced blah blah, you know, like, I don't know. I do feel a little bit slighted for the Modern players that didn't get any explanation, and I'm hoping that this is something long-term that will be fixable, because, again, I think the one thing that I've learned from all of my BNR troubles with Legacy, any concerns from other formats, is that I am just so, like, starved for communication, just to know, Wizards, that you're alive, that you know that my format exists, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, Wizards tweeted, oh my goodness, maybe it's a BNR announcement. Oh wait, never mind, it's just the next Secret Lair product, you know what I mean? Like, that's why the Popper panel, like, literally blows my mind, and that's also why, like, you know, looking at this paper announcement, or this text announcement, I can see, like, all the downsides to this system, and I'm really hoping that they just, like, continue doing these, like, MTG, like, if Thursday MTG Weekly is, like, where they need to do the vocalized announcements, I would love to have that, because it was just so much fun being able to talk back and forth with Gavin and understand the processes and things like that, and just, like, ask someone about it, right? Transparency is all I want from now on. I don't even care if you make the right bans or the wrong bans. Well, I do, but not as much, but I really, really value communication and transparency a lot more. So
yeah, it's definitely some formats like Pioneer, people don't know if they forgot about, which is kind of troll, so it's definitely interesting,
right? Especially, yeah, that's another, like, thing too,
like, Smuggler's Cop was banned in that format. It's funny when they do, like, a ban a few years ago, but then everything gets power creeped, and you're like, wait, Smuggler's Cop was banned? I mean, I don't know if it's too overpowered or something, but there's some funny bans in Pioneer.
Okay, wait a minute, I am being told, Aquanos is telling me, Aaron Forsyth spoke about the state of Modern today on Twitter, saying that the data and sentiment around Modern all pointed to leaving it alone. There are definitely best cards, but nothing worth addressing. That's a good thing. And I wish that you'd put that in this announcement, Aaron. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to know that, you know, like, there's a heartbeat to it. I mean, F in the chat for Pioneer format players, but, you know. Okay, do we have any other thoughts? Are we ready to wrap up?
I think we've gone about an hour or so. I think we covered most of the things. I'm super excited for Legacy again. I don't think the format changed that much. Maybe it changed a little bit on the margins, maybe a little bit more spell-based combo, but the gameplay definitely got better, so that's something.
Delver, the deck is going to be changing a lot. We'll see what happens. We've got a couple big events coming up this weekend on Magic Online. We have the Vintage and Legacy Showcase challenges this week, and then a set of PTQs for each format next week. So it's like almost like a mini Eternal weekend, if you will, which I think is kind of cool. But we'll see how Delver adapts with the banning of Raghavan.
Yeah, I definitely still expect some Delver doing well. Another announcement that they made was that the Saturday challenge is changing to 32-player minimums. So I think that's cool, because it's going to start firing from here on and out. I think it's probably going to get more than 64 players now that people are excited about the format again. But it just shows that it's going to kind of continue to fire, even if you know, if things get worse from here. I still think 32 is going to probably fire.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up then here for us. This is Anurag Das, Bob Wong, Daniel Gottschall, finishing episode 29 of Elo Punters. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out on Twitter. That's twitter.com/EloPunters. And check out our Patreon. I think it's patreon.com/EloPunters. I don't know. I don't know why I got hired for this job. But if you have any questions or any thoughts, be sure to tweet us there, because we will definitely like to hear it and what your thoughts are. Like, if you would have banned other stuff in Legacy, or if you would have made other changes to other formats, like, what about Vintage? Is that a format? I don't know. You tell me, all right? We'll wrap it up here, and we'll catch you for the next episode. So, see you guys. What up, boys? And okay, we're gonna redo this. I don't like this. I don't like this take. Hold up. What's up, Eternal Glory? Wait, what are we called? We're not Eternal Glory. What are we called?
Blah 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 blah.
Oh.